Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. That in verse 24 is what we want to take from it this morning. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Whatever it is, we're supposed to put it away. The parallelism explains it. What we're supposed to put away are perverse lips. The word froward means perverse, crooked, twisted, warped, not normal, disobedient, distorted. Hence, something which is froward is not in keeping with biblical norms. It is strange or unauthorized. Leviticus chapter 10, we see in our mind's eye the strange fire that went out from went out with Nadab and Abihu that they offered to the Lord. Strange fire. Proverbs tells us about strange women. Hebrews 13 verses 8 and 9 talks about strange doctrines, things that are unauthorized, things that are not the biblical norm, things that are truly turning away from God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. God hates the froward mouth, the crooked mouth, the lying mouth. James 3, verses 2 through 8. We may not be able to tame the tongue, as James chapter 3 puts it, but we're going to domesticate it a little bit today. James chapter 3, verses 2 through 8 reads, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." The first thing I want you to notice this morning, as we study the froward tongue, the froward mouth, the vile, corrupt, perverse mouth, is that the froward mouth is a lying mouth. Psalm chapter 52, verses 2 through 4. Psalm 52, verses 2 through 4. "Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." The source of a lying mouth, John chapter 8 and verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." I know that many of us think that we have pure mouths. For the most part, I think we do okay in worship services. There are still those that like to use euphemisms instead of the bad words. But we need to understand that God requires purity in our mouths. Purity. You know what purity is. When you don't receive something pure from your pharmacist, you might go a little crazy. You might decide to find a lawyer. I'm going to sue. This such ought not be, to find impurities in that which is for my health. You want pure water. You don't want to find out that there are things like lead and arsenic in your water. And so, you make it so that that your government representative knows that you expect pure water. If you can't get it, you find a way to get pure water. Go to Walmart and buy a case of bottles. You go to a company that specializes in purifying your water, reverse osmosis, or other ways of doing that, and you employ that because you expect pure water coming out of your tap, that you have access to it for your health, for cleanliness in your home, many other reasons. We want pure water. God expects a pure mouth. And so when we speak like God speaks. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Speak the truth. We speak as God speaks. We're going to speak that which is truth. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. God cannot lie. And so the things that come from his mouth, so to speak, are true. God hates a froward mouth. God hates a lying mouth. And so it is when we examine ourselves from day to day, as we leave our workplace from day to day, we ask ourselves, is our speech pure? Is our speech as it should be? Are we honoring God? Are we speaking truth? Are we speaking that which is pure and good and of a good good report? God hates a lying mouth. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. A mouth that lies, the Lord hates. They're an abomination to him. I want you to understand abomination. And I think you can in your own life. You have a 2-year-old in a high chair in front of you. They like certain things. And if you give them things that they don't like or can't particularly stand, it ends up on the floor or on the wall or is simply ignored. Give them a bowl of ice cream. Like ice cream. They love ice cream. But you put certain things on it. When I was a 2-year-old, and even later than that, in fact, I have to admit, even now, if you put asparagus on my ice cream, it is an abomination. Can't stand it. Won't touch it. It will not be consumed. I won't even pick it off and eat the ice cream underneath. It has been made vile. That's what this is and what it means. That when we have a perverse mouth, when we have a froward mouth, it is an abomination to God. How quickly do we want to get out from before us things that are an abomination? Imagine God with a pure mouth, a pure heart. Pure words come out of his mouth. What an abomination is to him. Think of the ultimate, and that's what we're trying to get across. When we have a perverse mouth, how fast should we clean it up? I know that when you were young, you perhaps experienced some of the things that I did. My brother, tell on my brother, he's not here to defend himself, but my brother did not have a clean mouth. And my mom thought it would do some good to get the Dial soap and make him bite off a chunk of that. Now, it didn't work. But the idea there that mom was not going to put up with my brother's vile mouth, and she tried to do something about it. I think the soaps today are too mild for that kind of thing. She was thinking about the old days when soaps were just a little bit more harsh. doesn't really do any good to bite off a chunk of ivory today. It doesn't taste all that bad. I'm sure some of you have tried it these days, maybe just in curiosity. How bad does it taste? It's not that bad. But my mom had the idea that my brother would not want to go through that again. Well, I don't think he really cared, and it didn't do much good, but that's the idea. She wanted him to stop speaking in that way. And so brought out the soap, had him bite off a chunk, wash his mouth out with soap. Maybe it's just the idea. A lying mouth is a snare, a trap. When we come home from our job from day to day, I know people that have gone to their jobs from Sunday to Monday. Sunday, their speech is pure while they're here in worship and perhaps home with their families. But they get to the job, and it's common that on the job, speech is not pure. Now, I know some of you have service jobs, and you have to go out and meet the people on a daily basis. Perhaps you serve at a counter where people come and want things from you. And your mouth has to be in keeping with good business, and so it doesn't spew forth. But there are other service jobs that are done behind the scenes. So I used to work at an electric co-op, and we would be working out in a field somewhere. No one could hear us, and it was the fact that the mouths got pretty filthy. I always hoped that I would not be like my contemporaries. I cannot say that in every instance my mouth was as pure as it should be. Let's just say I've had to work at it. After I had that job, I had a service job. You could get fired for using language like we did there at the electric co-op. And so my language got a lot better. Being in front of congregations, it's required to be at a certain level. But I worked at it from the time I was in my early 20s until you see me now. I don't use the common euphemisms that people use for that which they know is wrong. I don't darn it to heck, if you will. Those are not part of my daily usage. I say those things simply so you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's something that we all need to work at, because we leave a place like this where we are expected to use good language. We go out into the world, and the world, some of them know who you are and know where you worship, and your influence is not as it ought to be. Perhaps you don't think it's of all that much consequence. But I hope this disabuses you of that notion, that these things are an abomination to God, that He wants us to have pure speech, pure in the sense that it's true, pure in the sense that it's of good report, that it's not considered filthy. The lying mouth is a snare, a trap. Proverbs 12, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. The lying mouth is a snare. Why is it that God hates a lie? Because lies are often used to harm other people. Lies are often used to get ahead, to mislead. The lying mouth is fleeting. Proverbs 12, verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. I love it when I hear somebody think about people of time past. My daddy, someone might say, I never knew him to lie to me. What he said was always true. If he made me a promise, that word was good. I love hearing that kind of thing, because that's biblical. And I hate to tell you this, but it's rare. Oftentimes, fathers tell their children things that they don't intend to do, simply because they don't want to hear what you're talking about. I promise I'll get to it later. I promise I'll do this. If you clean up your room, you'll get an ice cream cone. And then it's never carried out. I have tried not to be that. I cannot claim that I have recorded every promise I've ever made, but it's been my goal never to make a promise that I can't keep to my children or to anyone else. If I've made promises that I have not kept, people can tell me, and I'll make it good. The lying mouth is a snare. Lying mouth is fleeting. What needs to be said of us at the end of our lives, that person's word was good. That he never said anything that was harmful. The lying mouth is fleeting. There are serious consequences concerning lying in the New Testament. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and following, records lying in the church. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and following, talks about a man by the name of Ananias. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. He and his wife Sapphira, they saw the good that another man was doing, and they said, well, we want some of those pats on our backs too. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. This passage is designed for great fear to come on us as well. Knowing what God does about lying, knowing how God feels about lying, the fact that He cannot lie and that it is an abomination to us, that the froward mouth God hates, we ought to change our ways. We ought to tell the truth. We ought not say things that are cutting and biting. We ought not say things that are filthy to those around us. We ought to have pure mouths in so doing. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Getting to the end of the story. What is going to be forever? Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and all sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't know about you. There are some things that scare me in this life. Some people are afraid of spiders. I'm not afraid of spiders. Some people are afraid of dogs. You got me there. I'm afraid of dogs sometimes. I see a scar on my head sometimes when I squinch my facial muscles. That was from a dog that bit me when I was about 4 years old. Dog was named Laddie. Never did see that dog again. It went out to Grandpa's farm, and I was never close to that dog again. Seems that dog was jealous of Mom. And I was on Mom's lap, and the dog got me. So, it's been a long time in fear of dogs. But I think you're all afraid of fire. I think every one of us, dealt with a fireplace, you tell your kids, keep your hands away from there. That's not for you. Let the adults feed the fire. Go out to a fire out in the backyard. My dad tells a story that he was messing around with a box of matches, and he lit a wooden domino on fire, and it burned up all the backyard. Go back there and you feel the heat coming from that burning grass. May not burn very long, but it burns hot. And that's why it jumps from yard to yard if you don't take care of it pretty quick. Fire is a harsh thing. My grandpa, he would burn anything in his firebox. In fact, he had some creosote poles. I don't know if you've ever burned an old telephone or a power pole with creosote on it. My grandpa melted the top of his firebox that way. He totally ruined it. But it burned, and it burned hot. Fire consumes. You ought to be afraid of it. I don't know that the Lord didn't put a fear of fire in us, just an innate fear, because He knew how is He going to get across to us the seriousness of the matter of making it to heaven instead of hell, except for impressing us with the consuming power of fire. You ever look at World War II history? You go to what was done in Japan. I'm not talking about the nuclear things that were done, but before that, the firebombing of Tokyo. But in those planes that were dropping bombs, they could feel the heat from the fire coming up from the city. It consumed everything. The people of Tokyo lived in rice paper shacks. It would just go up in a moment in time, burned everything, the house, the people in it, the food that they ate, whatever they owned, it was gone. Gone in a moment in time. We're supposed to be afraid of fire. And so it is when Jesus says that all liars shall have a part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone brings to mind what Abraham saw over the horizon. God went to Sodom and Gomorrah and said, their wickedness has come up before me. I've got to do something about it. And it rained fire and brimstone on the cities of the plains, and the smoke went up. It was to impress Abraham and those that Abraham would teach. Don't mess with God. Don't live in sin. Don't live, in this case, in this sermon, with a froward mouth. Make it so that you change your life. If it's not the fact that you haven't worked on your mouth and what you say and what you convey to others, then it needs to be a priority because of the seriousness of fire. What is our attitude toward the lying mouth? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Putting away lying. The froward mouth is to be dismissed, not to be found in your presence any longer. Notice as well verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How much? How much can we allow? A little bit's good. Gives us character. People think more of us when we can cuss like a sailor. Policemen are often heard speaking a certain way. After all, I'm a cop. Heard that much in my life. I was lucky enough that my dad didn't subscribe to that. He was a police lieutenant till his retirement. And so he was around it much of the time as well. But his language was not like that. I was thankful that I had him to find that way. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That is, corrupt when it's lying, corrupt when it's filthy, corrupt when it's biting, corrupt when it's finding advantage over someone else, corrupt when it's putting someone down. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, telling the truth. Noting that someone is doing something well and telling them that they are doing well. Good to the use of edifying. That we but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let all bitterness, verse 31, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. There's that word, that phrase again. Put away from you with all malice. People get proud of their tongue, their ability to bite someone else, to put down the pithy remark is valued all too much. Too often, people get proud of the way that they're able to do that. Rather than have a pure mouth, they want to be able to be noted for their sharp tongue. Let us cry with the psalmist, Psalm 120 and verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. We have a choice to make. How are we going to live? If part of that life is that our tongue be sharper than someone else's, or easier to get something out of someone because we lie so easily, lake of fire, something we ought to be afraid of. A froward mouth is a cursing mouth. When we make common something that is sacred, when we take something in vain that is sacred, we have a mouth that is froward, crooked, perverse. Exodus 20 and verse 7, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, I think we oftentimes have the wrong idea about taking the Lord's name in vain. Although it can be said both ways, what this is talking about is making a vow. You vow something in the name of the Lord God of heaven and earth, and then you don't keep it. Or you do things by His authority, and you do the wrong things. You're taking the name of the Lord in vain. The authority of the Lord. We often think that we use certain words. Words that we well know, and if you really don't know what I'm talking about, just text me and I'll see if I can convey those things to you in a way that you can understand without becoming filthy myself. But you hear it all the time, that which condemns something, instead of building up and appreciating various things, a person, a place, a thing, an event. This is what the Pharisees were guilty of. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, it's a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple and that sanctifieth the gold? When we condemn something which God has made, we have froward mouths. When we condemn something He has made, something that He has prepared to be a blessing, we often use harsh words and euphemisms to those words that ought not be. They simply do not fit in God's place. If God cannot use it, God cannot condemn the things that He has made for our good and His purpose, then neither can we. Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. God created certain things to be appreciated. And if we don't, we have a problem with God. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 10. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful or full of pity, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. No liars, none of those that will take away edification from those around them and bring cursing and railing and backbiting. We finally need to note that the froward mouth is a backbiting mouth. What's the character of a backbiting mouth? Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. I'm sure you've have people in your families or in your extended circles that you sometimes want to stay away from. Stay away from them because they're not good for you. They have you thinking dark thoughts. They have you being suspicious when you don't need to be suspicious because of the things that they say. They're on the negative all the time. The froward mouth is a backbiting mouth. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. We don't want to be or be around those that are trying to cut, trying to hurt. But we want to be around those that are giving health, healthful things. My grandparents, you've heard me speak of my grandfather. I have another grandfather. I don't talk about him much because his life was not often story-worthy. There are other things I could say about him. But you've heard about the one that was in the Navy, and my grandmother and grandfather, except for when Grandpa was in the Navy, they had a fight every day. Every day. Grandma couldn't let him get the last word, but he always did. Yes, dear. Those are the kinds of things that we want to eliminate from our lives. I just have to have the last word. So it's, yes, dear. And Grandma says, don't say it if you don't mean it. He did, though. Every day. I don't know how you go through a 60-year marriage that way. I don't know how they did it. But they did. They fought all the time. One of them had to be right and the other one had to be wrong. Of course, Grandpa thought he was always right, and Grandma thought he was wrong. Not that she was right, but that he was wrong. Biting. Jabbing. Finding a weakness. Exploiting it. That's not the way to live. Build someone up. Give them help and teaching. Give them what they need to know for their future. I'm thankful that so many times my grandfather thought of the future at things that I would need. Told me how to do things that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. I've seen him take a trailer load full of poles. And he would tell me, let's go out and get these poles off the trailer. But let's do it the easy way. And he would show me the easy way. How to use leverage. How to do it so that you don't hurt your back. All those kinds of things that when you're a boy, you have no idea what people are talking about. Doing things that are efficient. But he would teach me those things. Those things were edifying. But let him not have a tool in his hand and need one. He would go in and knowing that it would aggravate Grandma, he would go in and get something out of her toolbox. Because it was close at hand. He had tools out of his ears. I mean, he would have so many that eventually he would, grandsons, you need some tools. Have some tools. Take them home with you. Don't leave them here. Or give some more to Grandma. And so it was that there was two sides of the man. One that couldn't give Grandma just a little bit of victory. And the other where he was looking after his grandsons. And so it was that I learned about a backbiting mouth because they practiced that well. And I learned what it was to learn how to edify. You need to know this. You need to pass it on. Let's see. What was he saying? You need to use your head for something other than a hat rack. Don't work harder. Work smarter. Talking about a man who had crushed limestone throughout the Depression with a 16-pound hammer out on the highway instead of doing it like they do it now in the pit. They brought out big rocks and made little ones out on the highway. And he would do that 16 hours a day in his youth. Telling me how to work smarter and not harder. Proverbs 26, verses 20 through 23. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. There are things that we do in this life with our mouths that are shameful. Some of those things are building up strife when there ought to be peace. What are the consequences of a backbiting mouth? Proverbs 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Relationships suffer because of it, sometimes for the rest of their lives. Proverbs 17, verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends, along with 1 Peter 4, verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Sometimes what you say when you think you're in private, not private, somebody hears it, tells it to somebody else, and a fire is built that may never be put out. When I read this, curse not the king, I thought about a plaque that was on my grandpa's wall in the kitchen. Don't curse the farmer with your mouth full. That was free. Y'all can take it with you. Curse not the king. What is the condemnation of the backbiting mouth? James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. The froward mouth is a proud mouth. Don't have much time left, so we'll say simply a little bit about this. A proud mouth. Psalm 12, verses 3 and 4. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? A froward mouth is a proud mouth. When you speak things about how great you are, about how you can get away with anything, about your plans that are so good that no one can deny you, these are the things that the Lord will cut off. 2 Peter 2, verses 10 and 11. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. So we ought to conclude with a resolution. What is your resolution today with regard to how you speak? Some people don't think it amounts to much. That it's other people being busybodies in their lives. They'll talk to me about how I speak. I've even heard some say that the Lord made me this way. And so He knows why I speak the way I do. That's not true. The Lord made you pure, and He expects purity. What is your resolution today? Are you going to speak with a pure mouth? It's a lot of work. A lot of work replacing the things that we normally say by habit with good, pure things. It's worth it. It's worth it because you know that God is pleased with it. It's worth it because there are people around you that may be embarrassed for you with regard to how you speak now. It's worth it because your children will be uplifted instead of embarrassed or downtrodden. It's worth changing it because God will not put up with a liar. He will not remember that lake of fire. Because you want good relationships, and so you'll start looking at the backbiting you do with a critical eye. How can I do that better? How can I be better at that? Ask the question. Change the habit. Change what you resolve, how you're going to treat and be in this world, how you'll treat others. These are things that we all need to work on. God resisteth a proud tongue. The froward mouth is an abomination. Remember these things. If we can assist you in your obedience this morning, don't hesitate asking. If you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, if you need to make a confession of public sin, these are things that are available to you right now. Blessings from God, ways, paths that He has given so that you can be clean once again, forgiven of your sins, the blood of Christ applied. And if we can assist you with your obedience, why don't you come now and sit on one of these front pews as we stand.